Well, let's pray once more as we take a look at God's Word together. Lord, thank you for this time together. We thank you for already meeting us here through song and through prayer, through lifting our voices to you, through lifting our hearts up to you. And now as we come to your scriptures and as we reflect on them together, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of each of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. We're wrapping up the series on the 10 healthy missional markers. So this is the 11th week of a 10-week series. I know. Somebody. Yeah, it's good. Pretty hilarious. So this is the 11th week of the 10-week series. But we're recapping all these 10 things. So if you missed all the first 10, hopefully you can still track with where we're going today because we're recapping. We're covering the whole thing. but I want to begin with a pop quiz. Okay, you ready for the pop quiz? If I say love God, what are the next 6 words you think of? Shout it out, anybody. Oh, man. That's beautiful. I like to hear that. So, if you can read off the wall. Not everybody can read off a wall. It's a hard place to read. But still, I know a lot of you have it committed to memory, right? Love God, be the church, bless the world. It kind of, I say it enough, hopefully. I'm trying to annoy you with it enough that it'll just stick, and you'll know it forever and ever and ever. You'll never be able to stop thinking about loving God, being the church, and blessing the world. so those are like the 3 sentences, pillars of who we are as a church. We want to love God, we want to be the church, and we want to bless the world. I think it's great. Those are important things. They're absolutely central to who we are and who we must be, but they're also not very specific, right? You can love God a whole lot of different ways, right? We can be the church a whole lot of different ways. In fact, we could be a really terrible church and still be technically the church, right? That's not what we mean when we say be the church. We have a fuller understanding of that. And blessing the world. Yeah, I mean, you can bless the world in a million and 5 different ways. I know I feel torn in a million and 5 different directions all the time as to how I could possibly bless the world. This way, this way, this way, this way. I mean, there's a million good causes out there. A million and 5, maybe. So what do we do? How do we narrow down what it means to love God, be the church, and bless the world? And so this summer, we've taken our 3, and in order to narrow it down, we've expanded it to 10. All right? That's right. So we're on the 11th week of a 10-week series, and we're narrowing down from 3 to 10. Okay, so that's how we do. That's how we do math in church, because whoever shall be first shall be last, and whoever shall be last shall be first. You know, we just, it flips everything upside down. Okay, so we've taken our 3 and expanded them to 10. So we have love God, be the church, and bless the world, but we've expanded them to 10. So the first healthy missional marker is the one that is underneath it all, and it is the centrality of the Word of God, right? We believe that the foundation of a healthy missional church, right? And so healthy church means that we're pursuing Christ. So a healthy church is pursuing Christ, and a missional church is pursuing Christ's priorities in the world. So if we're pursuing Christ together, we can be healthy. And if we're pursuing Christ's priorities in the world, i.e. blessing the world, then we are also missional. And we want to do both those things. We want to be healthy and missional. Because if you're just healthy and not missional, then eventually you're not healthy. And if you're just missional and not healthy, like if you're going out and changing the world, eventually you're going to run into problems of unhealth, right? So we always have to keep these things in balance. But underneath every bit of it is the centrality of the Word of God. So I want to create an image for you of an 8-legged table. That's the 10 healthy missional markers are going to be an 8-legged table. Again, more nonsense math. But so we're going to pretend that there's a table right here, but the centrality of the Word of God is the ground on which the table sits. So I don't know if you've ever taken a perfectly good table with eight, you don't have an eight-legged table, do you? You need a really long table for it to justify eight legs, right? It's going to be a long table that fits a lot of people. That's why it has to have eight legs. But when you take your eight-legged table that's perfectly built and all the legs are the same length and put it on uneven ground, is it going to sit nice and fine and pretty? No. How many of you have sat down at a restaurant and the table either had uneven legs or was on uneven ground and you spilled a fair amount of coffee on your lap or somewhere else? Yeah, I know I've done it. I'm always the guy kicking the table too because my knees are too high anyway, so I'm always bumping it up. So you're taking coasters and shoving them under the leg of the table that's, you know, trying to fix it, right? So the centrality of the word of God is what props up everything. If it's not level, it's going to throw everything else off, right? We have to stay close to the Word of God, right? So if we're like pursuing things together really passionately and wholeheartedly, and we're all on the same page, but what we are doing is not something that is godly, then we're doing something effectively, but it's not of God, right? So the Word of God sort of helps give us an idea, sets some parameters, some guidelines, sets a narrative for us of what sort of things we should be doing together, what sort of things we should be pursuing. It's the ground. So we're going to move from the ground of our eight-legged tabletop, right? Tabletop? Eight-legged table. But we're going to move into love God. So the next three markers are the ones that are about loving God. And the first one is a life-transforming walk with Jesus, which I am going to say is the tabletop. So we got the centrality of the Word of God. It's the thing that the table is sitting on. And the tabletop itself is a life-transforming walk with Jesus. If we as a church are not experiencing a life-transforming walk with Jesus, if we're not equipping people to have a life-transforming walk with Jesus, if you, as part of this church, don't feel like you're having a life-transforming walk with Jesus in any way, shape, or form, then no matter how good the other eight legs look, we missed. We missed out, right? If we're not experiencing a walk with Jesus, and it's not going to be, you know, wonderful and pretty all the time. A life-transforming walk with Jesus can get ugly. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. Jesus can make some difficult demands on us, or things can happen to us, and no matter how closely we try to follow Jesus or try to give it over to Jesus, it feels like it doesn't get any easier. Anybody ever felt that way? Where the pain still hurts, even though you know Jesus has forgiven you, even though you know Jesus is with you, it still can be difficult, right? But it can be difficult and life-transforming at the same time. So that's the tabletop, right? The tabletop is this life-transforming walk with Jesus. If we're not transforming lives, if we're not being transformed ourselves, we're missing out. So the eight legs. So the next two are going to be love God legs. And the first one is heartfelt worship. Heartfelt worship. Now, I spent, you know, a half hour talking about heartfelt worship 10 weeks ago. Nine. However many weeks ago it was. Eight weeks ago, actually. So I'm not going to recap everything about each of these. But central to what it means to love God is to worship God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we would not spend an hour a week gathering for worship if we didn't believe it was important, right? That wouldn't be the central rhythm of pretty much every church if worship was not important. I mean, I can't think of very many churches where weekly worship isn't a significant part of what they do, right? And for some, that's like all that we do as a church is worship every week, and then for some churches, that seems like enough. But we believe that it is central, it is important. Connecting to God, acknowledging that He's God and we're not, Well, that's a big one right there, because that has ramifications for every area of life, because God's God and I'm not. And well, we got to rehearse that. We got to rehearse that script. So we come together to rehearse the script. We read the script, you know, the Word of God. We sing the songs. We offer ourselves. We do what we can because, well, He is God and we are not. Heartfelt doesn't mean that we love all the songs every week, or that we're singing at the top of our lungs, or that our hearts are just full of good, happy feelings. Though, when that happens, it's wonderful. Heartfelt means that whatever is in our heart at that time is being given over to God. All the bitterness, all the frustration, all the sadness, all the anger, all the joy, all the gladness, whatever it is that we're carrying in our hearts week in and week out, we give it all over to God in worship. And then a culture of godly leadership. If we want to love God as a church, we need to have godly leaders. And we just so happen to have a leadership structure that believes that everybody is a leader. So a culture of godly leadership is really a culture of godly people, because each one of us, in our own way, is a leader, because each of us has a voice, each of us has a say in what happens here at Bretton Woods. But a culture of godly leadership is so important. If the people are not godly, the church will not be godly, right? You can't create a godly church out of ungodly people. And if you do, you must be a wizard of some kind. I don't know. It would be a little off-putting, I think. So, those are the three missional markers that have to do with loving God, that are centered on loving God. Life-transforming walk with Jesus, heartfelt worship, and a culture of godly leadership. Now, some opportunities that you have as a part of Bretton Woods to love God through what we have here. One is this new emotionally healthy spirituality course that's starting on September 14th, Monday nights, 8 weeks. That will give you an opportunity to really challenge to be transformed in your walk with Jesus. It's gonna have you dig into things in your life that may be hard. If you have, you know, family history issues that are hard to talk about, it might force you to take a look at some of those. If you have just tendencies in your life that you maybe have not noticed, but that have been impacting your walk with Jesus, maybe those will be uncovered through the course of these 8 weeks. I can't recommend it enough, but I also want to let you know that if you're not committed to it, don't sign up, because it's hard. So I've heard that, you know, one of the best ways to make something compelling is to tell people that they can't do it. So you probably don't want to sign up for the class. But I'm only saying that so that you will. Of course, we have Sunday worship. We have Wednesday worship. We have a monthly Tuesday prayer service that we do with Delta Presbyterian. We have some Bible studies. We have a monthly Westside community group that meets in homes. If you live in the Potterville Grand Ledge area, that's a great group to connect to. We have a women's Bible study that meets Saturday mornings. We have a Wednesday night Bible study for adults, and this fall, starting probably not till October, we'll have a 9:45 Sunday school class before church. So there's a lot of places to plug in to dig in to loving God together here at Bretton Woods. Be the church. All right, we'll narrow down be the church to three simple things. And one is compelling Christian community. This factor of being such a loving and caring and compassionate people that people are excited to be around you, that people are excited to be part of what's going on. The early church had such a compelling ministry. They would care for people who were dying of plagues. They would offer health care to people, even though it put them at risk, right? So our heritage as Christians goes way back. The people laying down their own needs in order to care for other people. And that was compelling. People were like, oh, these Christians are weird, but we like them because they love us. How can we also live into that compelling Christian community? Hopefully not by catching the plague. I just use that as an example. But how can we become more and more compelling? Sacrificial and generous living and giving is another healthy missional marker, another leg on that table. And that means being sacrificial and generous, not just with your money. Well, that's the first thing. Like when you hear the word generous or sacrificial, you think of like money immediately. That can be certainly a huge component of it. But people who don't have a whole lot of money can be very generous maybe with their time. Or they just have gifts. They have a skill that they're able to offer to the church, right? Like somebody may not have a lot of money, but they know how to fix a broken pew. And so they take it upon themselves to go over there and fix that pew. That's not a hint or anything, but if anybody knows how to do it, please. Just go for it. Oh, dear. I'm not the guy. I'm not good at fixing things. So. Okay, sacrificial and generous living and giving. We'll move on to the next one. Fruitful organizational structures. It's the least exciting sounding of the 10. To me, somebody who doesn't thrive off organization. But the organization, the way we're organized, the way we do things, the way we're structured, has to feed our mission. If what we're doing is not facilitating loving God, being the church, and blessing the world, then it's, you cut that leg off the table, and no, you only have 7 legs on your table. This isn't a very great metaphor. You still have 7 legs on the table, but the point is you want them all to be even. It's a 1,000-foot-long table. It needs all 8 legs, okay? But we need, if our structures are working against our mission, that's a problem. So we always need to be evaluating how our systems are set up so that they are contributing to the mission. So ways we can be the church. Again, Veritas coming up, September 12th. If you want to be part of this church, and if you want to have say in like just this conversation about where we're at as a church, come and be part of that. I know you may have something else going on that day, and I totally understand that, but it is a great opportunity to speak and to be part of the church. Volunteering for children's ministry is a great way to be the church. You guys may not have seen my wife in worship very often lately because she does a lot of children's ministry and could use more help. So for the sake of the church, not just the sake of the Gates family, if you have interest in helping with, you know, nursery or children's church, or, you know, that may terrify you, think about it. Or find somebody else who's, you know, I mean, you can be a recruiter. You can help find somebody else who's going to be really good at that. Usher ministry is another thing. You can talk to Nelva if you're interested in ushering next year, because there's always an opportunity. And to be the church, you know, when people come in and they're not greeted, nobody says hello to them, that can be it can be a bad experience, and often people don't ever come back if nobody ever says hi to them or they don't, you know, experience the church as friendly. Ushering is such a huge, important piece of that. So tithing, of course, giving financially is a huge way you can help be the church. And then just participating. When we have stuff going on, be part of it. When there's a Fat Tuesday New Orleans feast at the church and you're not sure if you want to eat that food, you come anyway. And so many of you did that, and I don't even know if anybody even knew what was on the menu, but you came, right? And whatever it is, there's so many things that we can be part of as the church. Blessing the world. The first step of blessing the world, or the first marker, was this idea of intentional evangelism. Being shaped in such a way that our story of our faith just oozes out of us, so that when we're in conversation with people, they know why we have the hope that we have. And hopefully it can become a compelling thing. We're prepared to tell our story if someone asks. We're prepared to give answers if somebody asks. We're prepared to say, I don't know, if that is the correct response, because often it is in questions about faith. And you don't have to have all the answers. Even the pastor doesn't have to have all the answers. Some of you have come to me and asked me questions, and I've said, I don't know. And maybe you've been like, but you're the pastor, you're supposed to know, but sorry, not the answer, man. Nobody is. But the good news is real. Transforming communities through active compassion, mercy, and justice ministries. That's the longest of the markers, has a lot of words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 words. That's more than love God, be the church, bless the world. But, again, we're narrowing it down from 3 to 10. Compassion, mercy, justice. Advocating for the poor, the oppressed, right? We come from a tradition that has always been known for caring for the fatherless, right? The orphans, the widows, the foreigners. We carry on that tradition as people of God, blessing the world, supporting ministries that care for the community, and also, you know, doing those sort of things ourselves. Being involved in people's lives who are maybe under-resourced and helping them out. I've seen that happen a lot around here. Just stories that go unannounced, right? Because we don't want to, like, talk too much about what's going on in people's lives. But the ways in which you support one another and the ways in which you come alongside people who have great need, it's inspiring. It's compassionate. And it's beautiful. Global perspective and engagement. That's what we talked about last week, about understanding that what we see in our world and in our lives is not the only version of the world that exists, that we sometimes need to see the world through other people's eyes and have our sense of the world, this world that God so loved that he gave his only son for, that world, it can give us a greater perspective on it so that we can be, in turn, more compassionate, more caring, more loving. So, more opportunities. Love and Logic is a great place for people to come to us. And we have a lot of families come through community mental health and other areas that get referred here to come take this class on how to be a better parent and raising responsible kids, responsible adults, really, is what the goal is. And, man, if that's not a justice ministry, I don't know what is, because if we want to create a more just society, we can raise kids who are more responsible, right? And that's a very huge and important thing, so we believe that it's worth investing in, right? We have a neighborhood block party. We get to know our neighbors. We bless the world that way. We offer them free food and free fun, mission support. There's all sorts of ways that we can bless the world, and we're looking for more of those ways as time goes on. So that's how we took 3 things, love God, be the church, bless the world, and narrowed them down to 10. As this passage in Matthew 9 says, this passage that has been important to us for about four and a half years of this vitality journey, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. As you look around this room, you know that, yeah, I guess it is few, right? But we're workers. The harvest is plentiful. There are people out there that need a listening ear. There are people out there who need compassion and love. There are people out there who may need an invitation to church. There may be people out there who need all sorts of things from us. Who knows what it is? But we keep our ear to the ground. We keep listening. Keep being compassionate. This passage talks about Jesus going through towns and villages, teaching, proclaiming the good news, healing every sickness. And when he sees the crowds, he has compassion on them. Now, this is hard work. It may seem easy, right? We see Jesus like just laying hands on somebody and healing them. We hear a story about him feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and you're like, well, if I had that ability, I'd be feeding 5,000 people every day, right? Easy peasy. But Jesus demonstrates a way of life to us for a particular reason. And what we see is that he sees crowds. He has compassion on them. He has compassion on every person. He has a perspective that allows him to be compassionate because they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. How many people do you know who are like sheep without a shepherd? Maybe just they're lonely. Maybe they just faced one too many difficult trials in their lives and they just don't have a whole lot of support. I know there's a lot of them out there. So as we together build and set this healthy missional table, this beautiful eight-legged table on the level ground of the centrality of the Word of God, may the harassed and helpless find deep compassion among us. May they be welcomed to the table. May they be compelled by it. May we truly make an impact for the kingdom of God. Not so that we can grow big and, you know, do lots of fancy things, but so that God can be loved by more people, that we can faithfully be the church more faithfully together, and so that we can bless the world even more as we go on, year in and year out, together as God's church. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. For the ministry of Bretton Woods, we thank you for the life that you have given to us. For 60 plus years, your name has been glorified through the ministries of this church, through huge vacation Bible school attendances, through thriving youth and Sunday school programs, through so many different things that you've done through this church over decade after decade. And we look forward to what you will continue to do in the coming years and the coming decades as we seek to love you, be your church, and bless your world. It's in the strong name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.